We had the second of two lunar eclipses this year on Saturday, the early hours of Saturday night. First of all, tell me a bit about this lunar eclipse. How did it differ from the one we had in June?
Yes, Emma, this one, yes, second for the year, which is quite lucky, really, or not lucky, I guess, it's just how it's worked out. But this one, well, it was a lot more comfortable, I'll say that, for the first thing. The one in June, I remember getting up at someone godly out of the morning, I think it was about 4 o'clock, and it was freezing. So that's the one good thing of a December eclipse, at least you know it's not going to be freezing cold. So that was good. This one was shorter than the June one, because in June the moon basically went through the right through the central part of the Earth's shadow cone, what they call the umbra, that's the deep part of the shadow, and then you got the outer shadow. So for most people, that outer shadow part, or which is called the penumbra, is barely noticeable. But the umbral part, that's where the moon starts to go dark. That's the noticeable part. So this eclipse was, the umbral stage was about 50 minutes, just over 50 minutes, compared to the June one, which was over 100 minutes. Because the moon was not going sort of quite so centrally through the shadow. So that was the difference. This one was much, the moon was much brighter. It was really a coppery colour. If people look at the images on the internet, they'll notice the moon was very bright, very coppery coloured. Obviously, I'd say a lot less pollution and probably volcanic dust in the atmosphere, because back in June we had a lot of volcanic activity happening, you know, around the Pacific and all that. We had those volcanoes going off. I'd say that this one, the atmosphere was a lot clearer. So the moon was brighter.
And tell me about that, because I did notice a lot of the shots have it almost like a red moon.
Yes, why? The coppery colour.
Why red? Or
yeah,
colour?
Yeah. What it is, because you'd think, just theoretically, you'd think looking at the moon should go totally dark because it's going into the, you know, there's no sunlight. But what happens is the red light, the red part of the spectrum, that those wavelengths are longer. So they're what they call bent or refracted by the Earth. So if you're on the moon looking back at the Earth, like looking, you know, the Earth would be covering the sun. And what you'd see the, like a red ring around the Earth, because that red light is bent around the Earth. But the blue light, it sort of scatters in the atmosphere. So that's why we see our day sky, as we see it as blue, because it's the blue light scattered and the red is bent. So that's why the moon goes that red colour.
There you go. Now, tell me, Andrew, how did you go about looking at the eclipse this time?
Well, at this time, I just kept it very, very simple, Emma, just looking with the naked eye. You can use binoculars, and some people use a telescope, but you don't really need to. Unless you're particularly some astronomers do what they call crater timings, and that's where you need a telescope. But for most people, it's just a matter of naked eye viewing, or a pair of binoculars, or a camera if you want to get a photographic part. And these days, with most people have got the digital sort of camera sort of idea, so it's quite possible if you've got a reasonable camera. All you need is something that can track, like something to follow the moon, is because it's moving across the sky, of course, over this period of the eclipse. So it's quite a simple thing. Lunar eclipses are relatively easy, a lot less technical sort of stuff needed, whereas when you've got a solar eclipse or something like that, you need some pretty sort of technical stuff to get it, to do it safely, because there's always a safety factor with solar eclipses.
Yeah, well, that's right. You don't want to burn your retina.
Not a good idea, mate. Poached eyeballs don't look very good, folks. It's a warning there for you.
Now, two in one year. I imagine, as you say, we're very lucky.
Yes.
How often do we get two in one year?
Well, this would be the first time for a while I can remember. Probably, I'm guessing, I could check back for you, but I'm guessing it's probably only happens every 20 to 30 years we get this sort of circumstance. And after this, we do have a bit of a break now. We don't have another total lunar until about 2014. So
2014?
Yeah, there's a bit of a couple of years or so gap now.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a bit of, and that's just how it works. The eclipses, There is a rhythm to them. There's astronomers, there's a few different cycles. It's quite complex, but I'll keep it simple for you, Emma. The main cycle involved, and this is for solar eclipses as well, is what they call the Saros cycle. S-A-R-O-S, Saros. And this Saros, it goes in a period of a bit over 18 years. And it doesn't exactly repeat, but there's a definite periodicity. There are some other ones which go as well, other shorter and longer cycles, but the Saros one is the most famous and very important for the solar people, the sun eclipse people. They are very familiar with the Saros. It's one of the things astronomers we get to know pretty quickly.
Okay, so no more lunar eclipses for 2 or 3 years. What about solar?
Well, no total. Next year we have a partial lunar eclipse visible from certainly the eastern half of Australia, and there'll be what they call a penumbral eclipse. Now, the penumbral eclipses are barely noticeable. It's only us diehard astronomers who sort of get into that sort of stuff, because for the average observer, they'll probably hardly notice. Mm-hmm. But the partial one will be noticeable. I think it might be June again, actually. It's in the winter time. No, it's winter. I'll go into more detail as we get closer, obviously. I'll be able to tell everyone. But next year's a very interesting year, Emma. We've got a transit of Venus next year, which will be, that's like Venus eclipsing the sun. But obviously it doesn't look very big because the moon's relatively close, so it does quite a bit of eclipsing, but the Venus is just like a little dot. Venus transits are quite rare. So, next year, if you ever want to see a transit of Venus, it'll be your time.